You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, Marco Bill, well, I think is a deep subject, and it's been very deep for me for the last 3 days. I've got to tell you straight up, good buddy, we've had so much good going on in the Bigfoot world that I can't stand it.
I know.
How do you
if
like
it got
that?
Any gooder, we'd be, who knows?
Yeah, well, if I felt be better,
wind.
I'd have to really see a doctor. That's how good I feel. And I got to tell you something, Marco, that, you know, you wait so long, and then when something that you wish and hope and you work so hard on comes to fruition, you say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, indeedy. There's some beautiful things going on in searching for Bigfoot and in the Bigfoot world, ladies and gentlemen, which you guys are all going to be a part of here real soon. I got to tell you, towards the end of the show, I've got our partner with us who's working on this new film of ours. And it's going to change the thinking on a lot of people in the Bigfoot world after they see this thing. A lot of time, a lot of effort's been put into it. some interviews of people that are just going to blow you away. And all we're going to do is just put it out there, and it's going to be for you to decide whether you're straight up and normal or whether you're delusional, I guess is the word. I don't know, and forgive me if I insulted anybody. Don't mean to, all right? But I've got to tell you people out there, there's a lot of people in the Bigfoot world that just aren't right, okay? And they waste the time of the people who are sincere, the true blue Bigfoot researchers, okay? And we're going to get into that towards the last quarter of the hour. And I just want you people to understand that. You know, we work very hard, those who are out in the brush and do what we do. And those of you who know what I'm talking about understand. And those of you who don't are the ones that are the people that are out there a little bit. And, you know, our newfound brethren and associate will get into that because he says it so much better than I. But we've got so many positive things going on, ladies and gentlemen, that it's just blowing me away. There's so many things I can't speak to you about because we are tied to contracts, but rest assured, in the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to be making an announcement that's going to blow your mind. Incidentally, those of you you heard me talk about Bigfoot Lives 3, you need to take a look at this. We got Holy Hill, we got the DuPont Monster, we got the whole nine yards, stuff that has never been seen before. And a lot of the stuff that's in Bigfoot Lives 3, and I know that I got, that was just a temporary cover, ladies and gentlemen. If you go up to Searching for Bigfoot right now, you'll see the new cover, and I really, really like it. And tell me your thoughts on it. But here's some parts that have never been seen before, and when you see it, you know, you're going to blow your mind. Remember the case of Holy Hill when the DNR operator, Department of National Resources, the man that was contracted to pick up the roadkill, he picked up a deer. It went all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we were the only one allowed to film this guy, and he told us the story. He picked it up. He used the winch to put it in his truck. As he went to sign the paperwork in the cab, he felt this big, heavy thing get into his back end of the pickup, take the loading ramp and the dead deer, and run off with it, changed his life forever. That is in this movie. You'll get to see it. We were the only ones ever to photograph and tell his story. You need to see it. Bigfoot Lives 3, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Marco Bill. We're going to get a chance to talk to this gentleman. I wanted to talk to him very badly. I did say hello to him a little bit last week. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going up to Oregon. We're going to talk to Justin. Several years back, he had an encounter and saw a couple of adults and a couple of babies. Justin, you out there?
Yeah, good evening.
How are you?
Oh, doing the best I can. Seems all the weather is rainy.
You know, I'm glad you said that, and I should have brought it up earlier, Justin. You know, down here in Florida, it's 85 degrees. Up in Montana, it's snowing again, and it's 27 degrees. In Nevada, it's snowing over there. And in California, the last 3 days, it's been windy and raining and storming. And then you get down there in Alabama, and it's 82 degrees. What's the temperature like by you?
Oh, I'm not sure. Probably about in the 40s right now. About a week ago, it was freezing, and we had about 8 inches of snow up here.
Well, you know, and I think I was up there 3 weeks ago. I can't remember anymore where I was yesterday. But isn't this weather been crazy, Justin?
It's almost like the Earth's been tilted off its axis. You never know.
Big time. And, you know, to talk about that, down here in out the Tampa airport, they had to restripe the thing and close the airport for a couple of days because it was off the axis. Remember that last year? I talked about that, too. It's amazing you said that. Well, we're not here to talk about weather reports. We're here to talk about Bigfoot. We're here to talk about you, Justin, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here on the Bigfoot Live Network. And you've got the stage, my friend. Tell us the whole story from the beginning to the end.
You betcha. Well, it also made me think about, you know, the climate change and their migrations up and down the coastlines and on the coast here, and how they go from Arizona up to Colorado to Montana and, you know, up and through that area. You never know which way they're going. Well, about 13 years ago when I was used to be logging with a company, and we were up here around Mary's Peak and in between Mary's Peak and another mountain range called Missouri Bend, and we were just finishing up on a logging unit. We were about an hour and a half into the morning, started about 6 o'clock in the morning. It was about 7:30 or so, and I was just finishing up the end of a road, we call it, when we're pulling out the logs, and I started hearing some thumps crashing around me, which, you know, you tend to listen to stuff thumping around you when you're logging, you know, you pay attention to that kind of stuff. And I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and I was looking around, and I finally turned around and looked back down the hill, and I saw a reddish figure with a blackish face and black eyes, like a reddish brown, and he's throwing a big chunk of wood up at me. And I was like, oh, my God. And I could tell, you know, that he wasn't too happy with me logging out there. He wouldn't be throwing stuff at me. I ran up the hill and got my other two guys who were working with me and trying to point it out to him. And one of them, he couldn't see nothing. And one of my other guys, he thought he did see something. And I got them all spooked, and they didn't want to go down and help me finish up. So I went back down the hill towards them, and that's when I saw the female pop up. And I'd have to say male is probably about 7 feet tall, and she's probably about 6 feet tall. And they weren't like real big giant or nothing, but they seemed real, you know, real lanky, like buff and lanky. And then they started turning around and headed back into the woods. And that's when I saw the two younger ones pop up out of the ferns there, and I didn't even see them sitting there. They popped up so fast and ran after mom and dad there that I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it. And I'd say the two young ones weren't babies, but they were about, you know, almost about the size of me. And I'm like, I'm 5'9". And I was pretty surprised and shocked at seeing them just turn around and move and get out of there so quick. It was quite the sight to see, let me tell you.
Let me ask you this, Justin. You saw these creatures. You said you saw a couple of babies, you think, smaller ones?
Yeah, they were young ones, yeah. They were younger than the mom and dad that I saw.
Okay,
they were throwing stuff at me.
Okay, so you actually saw a family unit, right?
Yeah, it was a family unit.
Okay, so what did you do the first time you saw these things? You finished your job and you went home, did you not?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you do when you hit your house?
Kind of went to my room and kind of sat there for a while. Trying to figure out what I was going to say to my lady when she got home. And I was kind of in shock for a while that day.
So what did you say to your old lady, excuse the pun, when she got home?
I was about to say, I told her just about the same thing I told you just now, told all you guys just now.
Okay, and what'd she say? How'd she reply?
Oh, she didn't believe me. Not one bit of it. She thought I was full of bananas.
Did you tell any other friends or relatives?
What's that?
Did you tell any other friends or relative your story?
Yeah, I told my brothers and my one brother. He believes me. He saw. He's a big avid hunter. He's been out in the woods quite a bit. He said he's seen quite a few things he probably shouldn't have.
Okay.
And one of the guys, that was working with me. You know, we went to school together, and he was the one that thought he saw something with me. And I know I saw something because I watched him walk out of there.
So what was the general consensus? Did they think you were crazy? Did they think that you were off your rocker? Did they think that you had too much to drink? Were you on drugs at the time?
Well, we were logging and drinking a lot, but that didn't have nothing to do with it.
All right. Okay. So did you ever have any other experiences since that time?
Not since that time, but before then I have. That's what kind of made me start believing and start watching around me a lot more. Back when I was younger, my old man, he used to take me to the Cougar Hot Springs up there, down there near Eugene, the Terwilliger Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. And our vehicle got hot, and we had to get water for our radiator because we didn't make it up all the way up the hill. We stopped about right up there about where the dam is. And we took some water jug and backtracked down the hill about 2 miles where the closest creek was, and went up the hill and went up there probably about 200 yards or so and started, I don't know, where we could, found a spot where we could fill up our jugs. And you know that when people had cougars follow them and you get that feeling and your hair starts pop up on the back of your neck, you know something's stalking you?
Had that many times, you bet.
Well, that's the feeling we got, me and my dad, and we started looking around, and we saw all these, you know, young trees all spaced around the up and down this creek, and a lot of them were twisted and twisted around real weird positions and like into each other and whatnot, and we started looking at them, and all the wood, like the wood on the inside, the tree was broken, but the bark on the outside wasn't. And it was like it was broken and twisted where the tree was broke, but the bark wasn't. It was just really weird.
Did you ever get to hear any tree knocks or rock clapping or vocalizations during your tenure out there while you were treeing and timbering?
I don't recall any when I was logging, not really. But I'm sure I've heard, I heard stuff and just assumed it was something else. When you're logging out there, you got all kinds of wood knocking together.
Okay. So let me ask you something. You've had this experience, and it apparently made a difference in your life, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It definitely opened up my eyes to keep my eyes open.
yeah, definitely so. And so
I'm just sorry that I had to have an encounter, an experience to where that they were mad enough to be throwing wood and rocks up at me because they were mad we were messing up their environment.
That's amazing. Did you get to see any footprints?
No, I couldn't get down there. I was too busy slave driving that day. Everybody wanted to get out of there.
What about any smells? Any different kind of odors?
I didn't get close enough to smell anything.
Okay. All right. Well, listen.
They were probably about a good 100 yards away, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not very far.
Yeah. If it had, not all of them have an odor. You know that, right?
Not all of them have an odor?
No. Not all of them have odors. I mean, out of the 7 times I've seen these creatures, I think about 3 of them had a stench to them. But I really appreciate you coming aboard here tonight, Justin, and telling us your stories. And like I tell all our newbies, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate
yeah,
your time.
Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of show ahead of us, and I'm sure you'll hear another lot more interesting stories that may put up a light in your head and trickle off something else that you've experienced in the past. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Justin from Oregon. It's amazing the hotline, the calls that we get. It's unbelievable. And, of course, my good buddy, Marco Bill's got the patience of Job. Let's go to commercial. Marco?
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Marco. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you a story. It hit today. I don't know if it's hit in the Bigfoot world, but it did hit today. It was a story by Bill Bowden. Still haven't figured out what newspaper, but this was the headlines. Listen up. Bigfoot search illegal, say United States Park Rangers. Guide fined for expedition without permit. Can you dig this, ladies and gentlemen? After all these years, they're trying to capitalize on us going out there without, and we have to have permits now. This happened in Arkansas, by the way, and it's just blowing my mind. It's just totally blowing my mind. In upstate New York, until we got there, Bigfoot never even existed. Then we partitioned somebody. Next thing you know, now Bigfoot does exist up in that neck of the woods. Now here, Bigfoot search illegal, say United States Park Rangers. Guide fined for having an expedition without a permit. Well, those guys that's in that TV show better be careful. Well, they should be fined a ton of money because they've been doing national parks now, I guess, for, well, he says he's in the business for 25. I have no clue how many years they've been out in national parks, but it's something else. But just got that today. That's a little news bit for everybody out there. Apparently now, and there's some states having that, you need to have a permit to look for Bigfoot. Wow. I bet you we had a lot to do with that, Marco.
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have to see our good friend at the Choctaw Reservation there in Mississippi, and we're going to be getting out there, folks, real soon. We're going to see Theron. Theron, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good.
Well, I got to tell you something, man. I'm excited. I am excited. And I'll tell you why I'm excited. My gosh, when I got that call the other day over the weekend about them guys out there, they found some prints and they wanted to find out how to mix the plaster of Paris and all that kind of stuff. Man, this guy, what's his name, by the way?
His name is Jason Murray.
Jason Murray. I can't wait
to
meet this guy and shake his hand. There's a doer.
Not only did they get some prints, but the week before they actually had an encounter with, I think it was two or three of them, creatures that surrounded their camp.
Wow. Well, you. What'd you say his last name was?
Murray.
M-U-R-R-A-Y?
I think it is, yeah.
And how do you spell the first name?
J-A-S-O-N.
Oh, Jason. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Well, you tell Jason, because I know he's chomping at the bits to meet me and my gang, and you tell him vice versa that I'm chomping at the bits to meet him
yeah.
and to shake his hand. That's the kind of people I like. I don't like the people that talk it. I like the people that walk the talk, if you know what I'm talking about.
I think the week you're going to be here, he's going to be out of town. So
he's planning on going out this weekend.
He's planning.
He gave me a call this morning, Tyrone. Yeah, he's going to go out this weekend, and he said that if they have anything, that he'd be on next week's show to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they've been having a controlled burning around the area, which is I'd say 15 square miles, and they finally started burning here today behind my mother's house, and it's going to be all black. The grounds are all going to be all black because they do that every so often to control forest fires or whatever the forestry people do. But I have a couple of news. I think a friend of mine told me that someone told him that there was a creature standing by the road across the Sawmill Cafe, which is the road adjacent to my mother's house a few days ago. It was early in the morning, just before sunrise, and these people were driving by, and they saw that creature standing by the road, just adjacent to my mother's house. So I think it's about a good 100 yards, I guess, from my mom's house on the main road. And the other one is I got me some good sketches by an artist who had an encounter just a mile or so, mile and a half, good 2 miles down the road. He called me the other night, and I didn't know who this fellow was. His name was Joe Jackson, and he wanted to talk to me about. He sent me a message through my brother and said, "I need to talk to you." I called him that night, and I met him that night. And he's an artist, and I got some good sketches from him, and these are nice pictures. And he said that his encounter last July, it wasn't a full-grown creature. It was a small creature, about four and a half feet tall. That he watched him for a few seconds, and this small creature ran across the road in front of him. And that's what he wanted to talk to me about. And he did some nice sketches, and that was his second sighting. His first sighting, he was telling me, he drew the pictures as well. He said there was two of them, and he could clearly tell that one was male and one was female. And the male stood in the middle of the road, and he looked very thin. But as he turned his body, he was very broad from that side. But he said he watched this female coming down a little embankment, but she lost her step, and she fell on her butt, and the male kept on looking back and trying to get her to come across, and she was hesitant to come across, but she took a step or something like that, and he grabbed her and pulled her, and both of them went across the road. And he said that experience he had was about 30 years ago, south of here. Anyway, his recent experience was that very small Bigfoot, and those are the story I have to tell you today. And I think here in this area is a hot spot for Bigfoot here, and hopefully I'm planning to go and camp with Jason and them this weekend to see what we can come up with, and hopefully that controlled burning hasn't driven them away. I don't know if you've had that kind of experience, but I
don't
know.
We have. Let me break in here and explain to you. We had that over at the Apache Reservation. There was a burn up on top of the mountain, which brought these mm-hmm. creatures down on the reservation in the lower lands, where
yeah.
these creatures were actually looking in the windows of people's homes, believe it or not. Okay.
Oh, well, let me tell you. Speaking of looking in the window of people's homes, my nephew told my brother, said his cousin down. And this is the neighborhood here, and that house is about 100 yards from where my house is, and there's at least 30 to 40 homes all around that area. And one night, this creature was looking through the window, and that's one of the exciting news I had, you know.
That is incredible. Well, listen, by the way, what's the weather like over there by you?
It's about, I would say, 7.
I'm sorry?
It's real. It's been real pretty, you know.
Uh-huh. It's not cold, right?
It's not cold.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, have the snakes come out yet?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have never been afraid of snakes. I catch snakes with my bare hands, you know. I catch all kind of snakes. Poisonous ones, non-poisonous ones, you know.
Well,
when I was younger,
I'd just bring you along with us. You'll be the snake handler.
When I was younger, I'd just walk up and catch them. But now I'm 55 years old now, and I'm slow. So you know, if I want to catch a snake now, I get a stick
The stories change as we get older, doesn't it,
Ron? Yeah, I got to stick on the head. And
all right, no problem. Listen, thanks for sharing. We'll see you there next week. I need you to call me after the show, and the same thing with Jason. I want to speak to Jason right after the show, okay?
All right, well, I need your telephone number because
No, we're not going to do it on the air, son. Okay, Bill will call you, and he'll tell you everything you need. Thanks for sharing.
Sure, and I'll give you a call and give you the number after the show.
Mute yourself out. Mute yourself out. We still got a whole lot more of show. And, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make an announcement right now. And thanks, Theron, for being with us.
All right.
We'll see you next week. A dear friend of ours, a dear friend of the Bigfoot community, has passed on. He's a dear friend of mine, especially because, and he should be of Bill's, Marco Bill's, due to the fact that he kind of swayed us into this radio station thing, which we're going on. This is our sixth year come August, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're probably the longest and oldest Bigfoot show out there, aren't we, Bill?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Joe Mazza has passed on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I had an intuition. And the guy was late night with Joe Mazza, out there out of Boston. Great guy, a wonderful man. We were on his show a ton of times while we were on, believe it or not, on Expedition. As a matter of fact, he was in our first movie, on our first rendition of Bigfoot Lives. I want to dedicate this show to Joe Mazza and his family. And remember, he used to come on and say, it's me and my dog, Sebastian. And Sebastian
yep.
was a big St. Bernard, ladies and gentlemen. And most of the audience never knew that Sebastian had passed on 6 or 7 years before he had passed. And they still thought that he was around, but he wasn't. But Joe, this show is dedicated to you up there. In heaven, and we love you, man, and thanks for what you've done for us in the past. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get to my other boy out there in New Mexico, Four Corners. Got a lot of respect
for him.
Got
Brenda gentleman. And got Dave.
That's Dave. That's right. Mr. Dave Ortiz. Dave, you out
and
there?
And Brenda.
Oh, sure we got
am.
Brenda, too?
Yes.
Brenda, hey, you there, right?
Brenda, how are
yeah.
you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Nice to hear your voice. By the way, how are the crops? How's the melons doing?
They're not in yet.
Okay. But you think I'll have one when we come by? It'll be ready?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still with us, Brenda?
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're going to save me one?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can, loud and clear. You're going to save me one of those melons?
Sure.
Atta girl. Good. Well, Dave, you out there?
Yep, sure am, Tom.
Well, tell me what's going on.
All right. Well, excuse me. The latest is there's there's been a rumor for quite a few years, but it's starting to be possibly a real creature. We're looking for a large lizard that walks on two legs. It's anywhere from a foot to possibly 3 foot tall. From what I've heard from accounts, it looks very similar to what they call a mountain boomer, a colored lizard that's generally on the small side. But we've had some of these reports on and off for a few years, and lately I've been talking to a few friends who have actually had an encounter with one of these lizards. They're very aggressive. They may actually even harm a person. You know, I have a friend that several years ago told me, and then reminded me again, that this creature was on top of a fence, and it hissed at her really bad. And then we have another contact who just had recent, probably during the fall, had contact with it, that it was very aggressive. I mean, it was actually beating it away from its little territory area. So that's basically what I'm going to be looking for here, as well as, you know, checking up on Bigfoot reports. But kind of taking an interest in that. It sounds like it's a legitimate creature.
Wow. And this just came up now recently, or what?
Yeah, been hearing about it, but finally had a contact that finally gave a great description, even took us to the exact spot where this thing has been spotted. And apparently it may be out now that it's getting warm, about 70 degrees. And I'd like to go see if it has tracks and stuff and measure the tracks, see if it is actually bipedal. And I'm pretty interested to see what we have here. It may be a creature that we have never... that has never been investigated, thinking it was just a mountain boomer, but it may be something, a subspecies of it.
Are they amphibious also?
Not sure, Tom. Not too sure. What they do have is a sort of a red collar on its neck, a reddish collar. And I've heard several reports about this. This collar, when it seems to be agitated or angry, this collar flares out.
Well, remember one thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Be very careful. I don't know if you know this or not, but anything that slithers and it's red normally is poisonous.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So be very, very careful, especially if it's unknown. There may not be a cure if somebody gets bitten. So words to the wise, stay away from its mouth.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And,
especially from a lizard type. It's just like, you know, their teeth and their tongue and their saliva protrude poisonous semen type stuff, saliva, and when they bite into their victim, of course the serum goes right into the bloodstream of the victim, and they die within a matter of minutes.
Ooh,
yeah, so be very careful out there.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. For
you know, by the way, Father Ray called and he told me to say hello to you.
Yeah, we actually had a meeting 2 weeks ago. I got to see him here in Farmington real briefly. Tell him hi.
Yeah, well, you know where he's at now, right?
Yeah, he's down there on Gallup now.
That's right, yeah. He's doing very well, and I'm very proud of him also.
Yeah,
let's talk to Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda, what's going on over there on the ranch?
Well, we still have Bigfoot running around. We could hear him yelling Friday night. He would yelled about eight times down by the river, so still around.
Wow.
And
Excuse
me?
Did you record any of the vocalization?
Oh, no, I didn't even have anything on me. It just happened so quick.
You know, you're kind of like me, Brenda. You know, we get out to areas now, and we get to see prints and everything, and people say, well, did you catch the prints, Tom? And I said, no, I'm not looking for prints anymore to cast and to take back. You know, we've got about 67 of them in storage, and I just want the creature, you know what I'm saying? don't want another print to take back and say, hey, here, look what we got here. And it's just like with the pictures now. The thing of it is, you know, let's get one of these things and bring it back and prove it to the world. Get the picture?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. I do.
I got to tell you something. I admire you. I admire your people. I admire your family. By the way, how's your son that was in Iraq?
Oh, it wasn't my son. My brother served there about 3 years now. But he's out now. Everything's good, so he's home.
Who was the one I met at your house?
I believe it would be one of the, I believe it's one of the neighbors down
Introduce
where
me
we
as your,
live.
As his
well,
son,
one of her,
as your son.
No, it's not my son. None of my kids are in the military.
He was a nice guy, though. I really enjoyed him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the time I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think. Must have been last year, I think.
It was. It was when we came out to with the two boys over that little valley, that little creek there. What was that area called, David?
Beetle Canyon.
What was it called?
Philo Canyon.
See, oh, Mark
yeah.
was
yeah,
better than I.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it, yeah. Okay. When were we there, Dave? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was last April, I think. Early May.
Early May.
Yeah,
right.
it was just about getting warm, but it wasn't too hot then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Listen, it's always amazing to see what's going on there. What about... all that other stuff that's going on there, Dave, with the so-called dinosaurs and shapeshifters and all that. Is that stuff still going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's regular reports going on. It's seen a lot by the natives a lot because it seems to happen on their reservation. I think actually Brenda's heard some reports not too long ago, too.
Is that right, Brenda?
Yeah, we had an incident that happened the last sheep killing back in November. This lady and her daughter had let her their livestock out. Yeah, it was about probably 7 o'clock in the morning, and they, you know, let the sheep dogs go do their jobs, take them down into the canyon. Well, the sheep all ended up back up at the house around 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was a pretty nice warm day, so they had the house door open. And the mom and the daughter noticed all the sheep back up at the house, and they, you know, went outside to go, like, wow, why'd they back so early? Well, they went outside and counted all the sheep, you know, and the goats that they had. And they were missing two sheep, well, actually one sheep and one goat and one sheepdog. So they hurdled up all the what was there at the house, put them all back up in the corral, went back down into the canyon to go look for the three others. Well, when they drove down in there, they found the goat with its head ripped off its body with the backbone still intact. And then also the skin, the wool was ripped off the body. The insides of this ram was laying off to the side, but the body was gone, along with the legs. And they had looked for, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. They thought maybe it was a pack of dogs, but there's just no way a pack of dogs would do that. Well, they went out to go look for the other sheep. The sheep was nowhere to be found, and also the dog was nowhere to be found. So as they were driving back to where they first found that goat, the ram, they just sat there for a few minutes, and, you know, kind of puzzled, like, what the heck, it just happened. Well, just right across the canyon, the mom and the daughter, hey, what are you doing? They were sitting in the truck. Well, right across the canyon is like a little mound, and the mom noticed something move on the side of that little mound there. Well, when they got to looking, this thing stood up on 2 feet, and they just, you know, the mom couldn't believe what they were seeing. And what she'd seen and the daughter had seen was this figure that stood up on two and it looked like she said it kind of looked maybe, did you guys see that? A coyote. But she was saying that it's not a coyote because this thing stood up on two legs. The chest was very muscular, very big. It stood up, it turned around and looked at them in the truck across the little canyon there, was watching the bomb and the daughter. And this thing stood, got up, walked around the little mound, and it had a really long, fluffy tail, so she was describing to me. Now, as this thing was walking around, another one stood up. It looked like the same thing. The color, they said, looks like maybe a grayish to a white mixture. Another one stood up, but a smaller one. Looked just like the big one, but a little bit smaller with a long, fluffy tail. And it walked around the mound there, and then it disappeared. It was gone. After they seen that, that really spooked them, and they got scared, and they just drove off out of there. And they didn't know what that was. They said there was just no way it was a coyote. It wasn't a skinwalker. They just didn't know, you know, how to describe it, what it was. You know, that really spooked them. So they went back up to the house and, you know, talked about it. And I guess the next day they didn't go back down there until the next day. They went back down there to go retrieve the wool. But when they got back down there to go get that was all shredded into pieces. Like, this thing came back and ate the skin off of that wool, and it was just scattered all over the place down in that canyon there. That's what happened back in November of last year.
Wow. Kind of sounds like the dog-faced Bigfoot situation.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a good possibility, yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Brenda, it's great to hear your voice again, by the way.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see you again, as a matter of fact, along with my son there, my other son from another mother, David. And you guys keep up the good work. And thanks for sharing, taking some time
sure.
from your evening tonight and sharing with our friends around the globe, okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
You guys be well. Clem, you might want to listen to this next segment. We're going to talk about the skullduggery that's going on here in the Bigfoot world. So just mute yourself out. We got about another 15 minutes, okay, or 12 anyway, okay?
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Okay.
Bill, let's go to commercial. Let's pay for some bills around here.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives. It's a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, Thomas, back to you.
You know, Marco, and ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. Every time I hear that little, that ditty, that little film clip of the movie that started it all for us here at Searching for Bigfoot, Bigfoot Lives, I relived it just yesterday. It was there. I'll never forget that night till the day I die. This guy, Bob Hallmark, with the reporter from the TV station, he didn't believe in Bigfoot worth a damn. He thought it was all a bunch of hooey. This guy also was an ex-Navy SEAL, ladies and gentlemen. And when he came out and saw the dig marks, the footprints, and the thing that it ate, and saw something move so quickly and be so large in that swampy area, you heard what he said. He got in front of his own camera. He has to rethink the whole situation. The guy hasn't been the same since, I understand. But that's the movie that started it all, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen it, get it, because it'll answer a lot of your questions. We're going to go into this last segment of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, with Jim Dawson, good friend, Bigfoot researcher, and John L. Johnson. He's become like a close associate brother to me. We're kind of like in business together here. We're working on something, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to blow the world's mind. And we're going to tap on just a little bit. We're not going to mention any names, and we're not going to mention any cities or states, because I don't want to do any injustice to anyone. But I'm going to tell you people out there right now, and listen very closely. I hope you got your ears on, okay? We are going to out all of you people, you so-called Bigfoot researchers, you so-called Bigfoot hunters that waste our time, that waste our precious money, especially today. It doesn't cost 2 cents, ladies and gentlemen, to cross country and to go from here to around the corner. Gasoline is horrendous right now, and they say it's going to do nothing but keep going up. Food, when we travel, it goes up. Hotels, motels, it's expensive today to travel, okay? So we're not going to sit around and play mumbly peg with a lot of you people. You sincere people, and we know who you are, you have nothing to worry about. But you flakes, you drama queens, you people that are need attention, the only thing I can suggest that you do is seek professional help. That's what you need, okay? Either that or become a writer for the Sci-Fi Channel. Do something progressive in your life, you know, that people could share. Don't waste our times with the nonsense any longer. You know, I'm gonna start with Jim Dawson. I'm going to end with John L. Johnson, although both of you guys can get on. Good evening. Are you both there?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Tom, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, both of you? We got JJ's with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Jim, I want you to start it off, if you would, and tell the truth like you always do about when you got me involved and we went up there to Vermont with some of those people up in that area. And again, please don't name the exact city or, you know, and just talk in generalities or their name. That we really believed in these people, didn't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. The gentleman in Vermont had posted quite a few, 60, I don't think it was 60 at that time, over 50 videos on YouTube, many of them in a lot of depth and length and very convincing videos, and I watched all of them, hours. It took me days to watch them and go scour through them and make notes and go back and check and check and check and what I thought, and then I emailed the fella, and it took me a while to garner his trust several weeks of working just to garner his trust and then to ask him to be on your show, and we worked through all that and conference calls with he, you, and I, and then we made arrangements to go out there. And then you drove with the team
from San Francisco and picked me up in Chicago, and then we drove straight through to the East Coast, the Eastern Seaboard, all the way up the northeast part of the U.S. In one drive. You had driven straight through. I got in the truck, and we continued right there. You had driven from coast to coast in 48 hours. We arrived at the gentleman's house, sit down in his backyard, and as professional as you are, you made a short presentation about searching for Bigfoot, your background, what you were all about, and his concern was should we or when we see a creature and if there is a money exchange, that he be a part of it. And you pulled out contracts right there, and everybody agreed, and everyone signed contracts for the expedition right there on the spot. We agreed to meet later that night and go out, and that we did. And we went out, and of course there was nothing there, and we can go into the details of all that, but there was nothing there.
I'm going to stop you there just for a second. Everything you say is correct. I broke everybody up in teams because I was with his son and we took the point. You and Youngblood went to the left. Sharon Lee and Bill Coffey took up the rear, and then we had somebody else over to the right. I forget who was that, but that's okay. Do you remember when Sharon Lee kept on saying, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it?
Oh, that was funny. She went from no kill to pro kill in about 2 seconds, and she was directing Bill Coffey to shoot Youngblood in the knee.
Yes, yes. Okay, yes. And I want it standing on record today, all right? You just said it better than anyone could ever say, that she went from no kill to pro kill, and she was out in the brush. And thank God Bill Coffey had the sense enough not to pull that trigger because of his military training and his common sense, because either you or Rob would not be here with us today.
Oh, there's no question. Rob's radio had fell off of his belt, remember, and we couldn't communicate with you guys. We'd lost the radio.
That's right.
And
we couldn't
hear you. And yeah, she did. She went from no kill to pro kill in 3 seconds. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
And yeah, right. And oh, she didn't say shoot him once. She said shoot him about six times.
Oh, she was screaming on the radio. I'm laughing. It's not funny. I mean, we could have been killed. It's really not
funny. You bet. Okay. Well, that was one case. And then we go to find out, after we spend our hard-earned money and our time, okay, wear and tear, this guy goes post shit about people that isn't true. Isn't it? Isn't that how it works?
Absolutely. The guy posts a video later saying that he brought a crew. He didn't name names, but he said he brought a crew up there, and that we were bad, and we were there to kill the creature or do some ridiculous thing, and he didn't take us to the area. He said, "Thank God I didn't take them to the area where the creatures were."
Yeah.
And after we had driven all the way across the U.S.
Yeah, I know we're slow on time. We're going to go into overtime here tonight anyway. But and then she goes on her blog and telling everybody that she infiltrated my camp to find out if we were for real or full of shit. Okay? I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah, I read it. It was unbelievable.
You know, I'm tired of the lies. And that goes into my next gentleman, John. Come on out. Not too long ago, you had your fill of this whole thing, and I think you put it the best that anybody could ever do it. You've taken 3, 4, 5 years out of your life, and how many thousands of dollars did you go through?
Oh, God. 6 years of my life, actually, and probably close to $20,000.
$20,000. And what did you actually come up with?
I came up with a fake cast out of Land Between the Lakes.
What did you come up with the people that you were dealing with in the Bigfoot world, John?
That I found some very good ones, but I found that the bulk of them were people who hadn't a clue and were in this for some sort of personal reason because they could garner attention, and I met a couple of people who claimed that they could mind speak with these creatures, And I respect, there's a guy out in Texas that I respect. If you're listening tonight, Thomas, I still respect you, but I don't think that people can mind speak with Bigfoot. There are, you know, it runs into the delusion, field of delusion. There is actually something that has come up, Tom. I'll talk to you about it later, maybe tomorrow, or the next time we talk, that I may be buying this paper. It's a scientific paper that possibly links some things like ADHD and chronic depression to this phenomenon and others like it. So at any rate, you know, seeking therapy might not be a bad idea. Now, I had something go south really bad with me in September in Alabama. I mean, severely bad, to the point where now I've got, you know, about the lawsuits I have against certain individuals, and I've got two more pending, the outcome of this, that may have even gotten into my credit card. And it's, the people are nuts, and I've been thinking about contacting a psychologist, and then I learned that one of these people in Alabama, one of the woman that was one of the most vocal about hearing it around every corner and every thump that goes in the night was a Bigfoot, was a psychologist. So, you know, where do you go? You know, I've just suddenly backed myself into a corner.
Yeah. Well, let's because we're really stuck for time here because we are into overtime. I want you to, in your own words, to tell everybody out there around the globe on the project that we're working on right now, when this thing gets done, what will it definitely prove?
Well, it's going to prove that the very reason that 90% of this cult, which it is a cult, exists, has been pure bullshit and was from day one.
I guess you can't put it any better than that, my friend. And I think you did a very fine job. Jim, we'll talk real soon. John, we talk every minute.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. I love both you guys. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.